Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Purdue and UConn, toe-to-toe tonight.
Well, you've seen this Purdue team up close and personal. They are the team that knocked out the Utah State Aggies, and they did in grand fashion. I mean, it is very dominant.
Yep.
And you said you came back to the show on...
2 weeks ago today.
Was it Monday?
Yeah.
That you were back?
Yep.
And you said, Hans, I wouldn't be surprised to see this Purdue team win at all.
No, obviously they're crazy talented and they've got the, the player of the year in Edie, but if they get friendly calls, if Edie is living at the free throw line, which he has throughout the majority of the tournament, UConn's the only team that can beat them. And UConn is a juggernaut all by themselves, and just the way that they play, just the veracity in which they play, in just coming at you over and over and over again, and eventually you're going to break. And look, these are the two best teams, bottom line, and it's not even close.
No, it is not.
This is what you want.
Remotely.
We all love upsets. We all love the drama of March Madness. We love the 12-5 and, the team coming out of nowhere. But at the end of the day, you want the two best teams in college basketball playing for a title, and that's what we have tonight.
Okay, well, let me give you just a couple of points of dominance in what we're seeing tonight, these two teams being the most dominant teams. So, Scotty, these two teams' averaged margin of victory in their playoff or in their tournament games, 22.3 points.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so listen to this. So Purdue has won by an average of 19.6 points per game through the tournament. UConn has five games so far through the tournament.
Yeah.
A total combined of 125-point victory margin. 125-point victory margin, which is a record. That's a record. And if they were to beat Purdue by like a 10 or 12-point margin, it would set the all-time NCAA tournament record for the distance between you and your opponent.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That is absolutely nuts.
Five games, 125 combined point differential. So here's the difference, though. So UConn has the best big man defender in all of college basketball in Donovan Clingan. He's 7'2".
Yep.
And he is very sturdy, and he is very confident. But still, it goes to what your point, Scotty, because 7'2", is Edie 7'5"?
7'5", yeah.
7'5".
And by the way, did you see the video of Shaq going up and talking to him?
Yes, I did.
And look, Shaq is not svelte these days. Shaq is put on some LBs, and obviously we know how tall he is, and Edie still looked like a giant compared to him.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it.
And it wasn't...
When people stand next to Shaq, not only do they look short, they look scrawny.
Yes.
This guy did not look scrawny.
And that's what I kept saying to people, that TV does not do Edie justice on just how big he is. And he's not just tall. He's just grown man, thick, strong dude, man. And it is just... Whew.
Is there any chance we get a good game tonight?
I sure hope so. I mean, honestly, I could see UConn winning this game by double digits. I mean, that's just how special this team is. They're just so ridiculously good and talented. And again, with how they play the game, but it'll be interesting.
It would be if UConn could do it, that would be the first repeat championship since Florida did it in 2006 and 2007.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a repeat champion since 2006, 2007.
But I do think Klingon will present the biggest challenge that Edie's faced this year, you know, in this tournament at least. Like,
because I think he can defend without being bullied.
Yep.
And having to foul.
And he'll have the size, he has the strength to be able to at least match up with him and not allow. Now, look, Edie's still going to get his 25 and 15. Like, he's going to get his crazy numbers because he's just that good. But he will have a post presence against him that he hasn't seen in this tournament.
It'd be a good one for UConn. And UConn was dominant last year in their run, and they've just been more dominant this year in what they've done. And sitting at 36-3 and finding the success that they found so far through this tournament, I'm with you. I would be shocked if it wasn't an 8-12 point win, but maybe Edie can keep it close. Maybe he can single-handedly push Purdue through some of the breaking points that UConn sets up because they're just so fast. Like, there's just not really an area that I have found that UConn falls flat in. They can hit you with they can hit you with so many different things.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, joining us now. Put together KenPomerOy.com, one of the best dudes in the business. And again, Ken Pomeroy joining us. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Always lovely to chat with you, and really looking forward to the game tonight.
Really fired up. Is Klingon the best matchup that Edie will have faced in the post this NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, I mean, Klingon is just he's a defensive force, first of all, and that's really kind of what matters here. Great rim protector, not too foul prone. It's kind of interesting, this matchup. Neither of these guys have ever fouled out of a college basketball game. So if either of these guys gets in foul trouble, it'll be a huge surprise. So, it will be a challenge here for Mr. Edie for sure.
So, Ken, I got to give you a heads up because Scotty and I, we actually used your name to leverage a relationship.
Oh, yeah, we did. Sorry about that.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Scotty and I don't know, maybe you would agree with me on this. So Scotty and I were talking with the new Utah State head coach, Coach Calhoun, and he was talking about you. And because he's analytic driven, and Scotty goes, well, we might be able to, I can't remember, putting a meeting together.
We might be able to contact, and he looks at his like, do you guys know Ken? I'm like, saucer, oh, do we know Ken?
Saucer plate eyes. He was like, you guys, and Scotty's like, yeah, he lives here in Utah. He does? So you're probably going to be getting a call from Coach Calhoun at some point.
Well, that's exciting. I thought you guys might ask me about the hire, and I know of his work. I don't know a lot about the gentleman, but now I'm a fan. Now I love the hire. So,
he's a big time analytic guy, and he's a big fan of yours. So, anytime we can leverage the great Ken Pomeroy to develop a relationship, we're probably going to do it. But
I do it quite often, Ken. your name wields a very large sword.
Hey, so overall though, how do you see this game playing out tonight? Because look, at the end of the day, we don't have a dog in this fight. We just want good basketball. Do you anticipate that Purdue can hang with this juggernaut that UConn's building right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been an incredible run for UConn. It's hard to envision a scenario where they have a close game just because they haven't had a close game in 11 straight tournament games. But if any team is going to do it, it's going to be Purdue, and Purdue does have some advantages. Like, they are a better 3-point shooting team. They are a slightly better rebounding team. They don't commit turnovers. So there's some things they do really well. It's just that UConn is so good offensively, namely scoring at the rim. Like, they're just very good at that. Edie himself, I mean, obviously he's a presence, and he's going to be a presence in this game, and that will have an impact on UConn. But he's not really an assertive rim protector. That's part of the reason why he's not foul prone, is he really doesn't, aggressively swat shots unless he needs to. So I think it will be a compelling game. I don't, it might go the way that the UConn-Alabama game did, where it was a compelling game for 30, 35 minutes, and then, UConn kind of pulls away at the end. I don't see this being a lopsided game at halftime. I think it will be compelling for a while. And if, you know, maybe Purdue can, you know, if they're especially hot from three-point land, this is a game that could come down to the wire.
I was trying to evaluate an area where UConn has any type of significant weakness, or at least observable weakness that Purdue could potentially take advantage of. If UConn were weak in an area, what would that area even be?
Yeah, I mean, that's their secret. That's why they've been so good. That's why they've been one of the most dominant tournament teams that really we've ever seen. The one area, though, I will say is that they are not clinging himself necessarily, but they are a little bit foul prone. And Purdue is great at getting to the free throw line. So that's one area where Purdue does have an advantage. They should get to the line significantly more than UConn does. And as I said, you know, Purdue's a better three-point shooting team as well. So depending how UConn wants to defend Edie, you know, if they're going to help off of shooters and double Edie, which most teams have not done in this tournament, but if they choose to do that, Purdue will make them pay, or can make them pay, from the three-point line. So, I mean, those are the two areas to watch for. Both these teams are really skilled offensively. This should be just a really fun game to watch. I mean, this is one of the most highly anticipated national championship games on the men's side that I can really remember. There's some recency bias there, I'm sure, but I mean, you got the two best teams in college basketball. You got these two kind of elite 7-footers matching up on each other. These two teams are playing, you know, their best basketball of the year. So it really should be a great game.
So what has Dan Hurley been able to do to really just allow UConn to build this juggernaut of a team that they're on right now? I mean, obviously talent is going to be supreme, but is there some kind of secret sauce that he's put together that's really created a culture in which UConn is just not just beating teams, just dominating teams?
Yeah, it's phenomenal, Scotty. It's hard to explain. I think, first of all, I'm going to go overboard, but I mean, he's an elite offensive coach. I mean, he's proved that the last 2 years, and he's been able to find the talent to match. And you just got to give him a lot of credit for finding the talent. Like, Donovan Klingon was not a 5-star guy at high school, but he's turned out to be one of the best basketball. Tristan Newton, you know, a transfer from East Carolina who was really good at East Carolina, but he wasn't like, you know, this game-changing transfer. That's not what people thought when he came to UConn. You know, Cam Spencer coming over from Rutgers, kind of the same deal. Like, he's filling just this perfect role for UConn. He's really an elite three-point shooter, and he can just play off, you know, kind of the other four guys on the floor. Alex Caraman, another guy, not a 5-star recruit, but has turned out to be a really outstanding college basketball player. Stephon Castle was a 5-star recruit and has been really one of the best freshmen in the country, notably for his defensive skill. I mean, he's a wing who has, you know, kind of the athleticism and prototypical NBA body. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you maybe project as more of a scorer in the NBA, but really what he brings to UConn is just an elite defensive mentality, which is something you don't see from a freshman very often. So, you know, we'll see what this looks like 5 years from now. I mean, maybe, you know, UConn crashes and burns as a program, but this 2-year run has been incredible. And, you know, there really hasn't been anything like it in the last 20 years in college basketball.
So, you know, we've been watching a little bit of a coaching carousel move around, and right here in the state has been interesting with Coach Sprinkle and his movement. But I actually wanted to get just a few more thoughts from you on what you know of Coach Calhoun's work and what Utah State did just hire.
Right. As I said, I've been a fan of his work just because I think they're not familiar with like what Youngstown State has done under his watch. Youngstown State had really zero basketball tradition when he showed up there 7 years ago. And he's built something where, you know, they were the best or among the best teams in the Horizon League the last couple of years. They obviously didn't get the job done in their conference tournament, so they didn't get to the NCAA tournament. And so that kind of kept him under the radar. But to me, it's a really impressive hire. And obviously, you're going to look at guys who have success in the NCAA tournament, and that might be your first choice. But really, like, Jared Calhoun just kind of steadily built that program year after year after year. They got just a little bit better every year. And, you know, he got them to the point where they were the best team in their league. And again, at a place where that had really never happened. So I think when you add all those factors up, this wasn't a fluke what he did. And it's the formula that's worked for Utah State for hiring coaches. And so, you might as well go to that well again. Like it's worked and this should work. Again, I'm not one of these guys. It's like every time somebody hires a coach, I'm like, hey, that's a home run hire or whatever. Like sometimes these things don't work out and there's no guarantee that this will work out. But I do think based on the information we have right now, this was an excellent choice.
So again, I'm asking you to be a little subjective here, and I know that's not your world. You're all about the numbers and the computer rankings and stuff like that, but this is my opinion. You can tell me if I'm totally off base on this. I've been of the belief that John Calipari is actually a great X's and O's coach. I think he goes out and he recruits really well. He brings in really great talent and can sometimes overwhelm you with that talent. What do you think of the move to Arkansas and how much better does he improve that program?
I think that's a fair assessment of John Calipari. He's kind of the opposite a little bit of Dan Hurley, where, UConn doesn't seem like they have overwhelming talent, but somehow the parts all fit together and he gets the most out of the talent. Whereas with John Calipari, he's had to win. When he's won big, it's been with like easily the best talent. And when he hasn't had the best talent, you could argue they underachieve or whatever, but he never really seems to overachieve with the talent that he has. As far as the move goes, I mean, it makes sense on the level that, his time at Kentucky had kind of, he kind of worn out his welcome to some extent. Obviously the standard there is enormously high. And, if you go a decade without getting to a Final Four, like you're just not going to last. And the only reason he could last was because Kentucky kind of, stupidly signed him to a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
Would have had to have spent a lot of money to get out of. And so John Calipari is really doing them a favor by kind of voluntarily taking a different job. And, Arkansas is probably a good fit for him. The expectations there are not, make a Final Four every other year. They do have high expectations. But it's a program with a lot of resources, potentially a lot of NIL money. He should be able to recruit just as well there as he did at Kentucky. The question is, can he, supplement those recruits with quality transfers? Because that was really the weakness at Kentucky and why he couldn't break through here the last few years.
So these are the dominoes. So you got Musselman that goes to USC. You got Calipari to Kentucky. Well, now what happens with Kentucky? Who do you fill that spot with?
Right. That is going to be a fascinating thing to track here over the next few days. I guess the big name out there right now is Nate Oates at Alabama. I don't know if Nate Oates has got a great situation at Alabama. We talk about expectations. I mean, he can coach, first of all, the first, 6 weeks of the season. Nobody cares about basketball at Alabama. So, that's a nice little, pressure-free start to the season. And really whatever, as long as the football program's winning, whatever the basketball program does is kind of a bonus. So I don't know if Nate Oates would want that job. We'll find out. People have talked about Danny Hurley. I can't see him leaving UConn. I mean, especially if he wins tonight, why would you want to go to Kentucky? You just won back-to-back national titles. You can clearly win whatever you want at UConn. Scott Drew at Baylor is a guy who's been kind of widely rumored to be a successor for Calipari whenever that happens. Again, Scott Drew kind of seems like a lifer at Baylor. I mean, I realize we always kind of, overrate loyalty in the coaching profession. And so maybe one of those guys will bail and see some attraction to Kentucky. But those are the three guys. And then after that, it gets a little more murky, I think. But they're definitely going to take a big swing at those guys. Billy Donovan's another name that's come up. And I could actually see that happening. Things aren't going great in Chicago. And so, if he wants to get back in the college game, I could see him going to Kentucky, obviously, and trying to win a title there.
I watching Edie in person when they played Utah State, it just and I keep telling Hans this, and I've said on the radio a bunch, like TV doesn't do him justice, his size. And I think people saw that a little bit more when they saw the side by side with him hugging Shaq after the game and just seeing how he's just so much bigger than Shaq, and Shaq isn't svelte by any means these days. So when you see that size and you see that strength and that soft touch around the rim, you're thinking, oh, he's going to be a great pro, but he's not overly athletic. He doesn't run the court like a gazelle by any measure. from, and again, I'm asking you to be a little subjective here, but when you look at him taking that step to the next level, how do you see him as a pro?
Yeah, it's a real challenge. I mean, I think the issue, you know, the issue is entirely on the defensive end. You know, what can he do there? He moves really well for a guy of his size. Like, you will see him occasionally have to, you know, hedge ball screens or whatever, and he's like competent at that at the college level. He probably won't be competent at that at the NBA level, and it's hard to succeed with a guy playing a one-man zone, which you saw a lot against NC State, kind of in play that way, because NC State didn't have a post player who really could, you know, hurt you from the perimeter. But you don't have those situations at the NBA level. So I think offensively it can work. You got to get the right personnel around him. You know, you have to say four people that can space the floor. And if you can do that, like, his role at the NBA level can be pretty similar to what it is at the college level. Like, he can draw fouls and he can convert, you know, if he gets on the block and gets the ball there, like, he can, you know, he doesn't even need to get totally to the rim to be able to convert efficiently. But defensively is really the question mark. And that's going to be what, you know, NBA talent evaluators will be, really obsessing over here over the next few weeks.
Hey, Ken, is this the best predictive year in KimPom.com history?
You got number one and number two going at it tonight.
You nailed it, Ken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's that's more a statement about just it is rare for one to play two, right? Like, the tournament is usually unpredictable, and it's really hard to get these matchups. And that's why I say this is really one of the most anticipated matchups we've had in a long time, because it's rare where the two best teams face off against each other, especially with, you know, like, two, certainly with Zach Edey, you know, maybe the most famous guy on the men's side in college basketball. So it actually has been kind of bizarrely, like, predictable. Certainly when you go back to, like, the preseason ratings, like, I look back at those, and, like, it's been a year that largely there haven't been a ton of surprises, which in itself is surprising given how much, you know, player movement there is in the modern game.
Well, Ken, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the game tonight, and maybe we'll check in with you a little bit closer to the draft and get some thoughts on some of these college players making the jump to the next level, and maybe what the Jazz should be or could be looking at as well. But we appreciate your time, as always. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Ken Pomeroy. Go to KenPom.com, and he nailed it. Oh. His numbers nailed it. Number one versus number two tonight.
I can't even believe it. He had 14 of the Sweet 16 in his top 16, and the other two, one was just outside, and yep, one was like 21 or something. He's nailed the numbers, and it's just been a strangely predictive year. But KimPom.com, anything that you want in terms of college basketball numbers, just the pure stats, the pure facts of the game, nobody does it better than Ken.
Nope. And nobody does it better when it comes to your finances and your institution to manage your money than America First Credit Union. Dave's hanging out with us as well. How you doing, Dave?
Well, I feel like Dave Bomb the .com. I don't know.
Dave Bomb.
Yeah. Who needs a name like that? Ken Palm. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know? He's the best.
Yeah, that's great.
I want to talk about some of your partnerships, because when you partner with a different team or entity, then people stand to gain. And, you know, this partnership that you've got with the Bees, and the Bees just knocking their season out of the park and getting going, there are great things. There's some value when you are a part of America First Credit Union that you can find at these ballparks or basketball arenas.
Yeah, these partnerships are so essential to these teams and to the community. You know, the owners can't do it by themselves, and the players and the organization can't do it by themselves. They seek out good, solid partners that will support them, that helps run the business, run the show, and it helps with the operations. And so it's much more than just putting your name behind them or putting your name on a jersey or a billboard or a stadium. It truly is a partnership, and we seek those organizations that have the same kinds of values that we do.
So when I first started up with America First Credit Union 14 or 15 years ago, I knew that there was a real presence with the sporting events and the sporting world, but I didn't really know the depth of it until we signed up on an on-air partnership. And now it's like, geez, this is a no-brainer for me to be a member of America First Credit Union, because it is sport. It is tied into sport. You're getting so much value. For instance, you get discounts on apparel. You get discounts on tickets. You can find free parking at these RSL events. Like, there are things that you get when you're a member of America First Credit Union with these sporting events.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about those sporting events, yeah, there's a lot of great organizations and teams, and that's where families go, that's where friends go, that's where we celebrate, that's where we go to recreate, and so we want to be a part of that. And we love working with these organizations because we can give back to the community, we can give back to our membership. You know, there's great deals, you know, with the Bees. You can go there and get discounts on your tickets, you can go get discount on concessions, you can go get discount on apparel. And that's one way that we show that that partnership wants to give back and benefit the community. And so we're all about that, you know. And if there's service opportunities as well, we've had members of these organizations come and do food bank drives and shoe drives. And it's just amazing to see a collaborative effort. It's not just sports, but it really is truly giving back to the community.
All you have to do is go to AmericaFirst.com. One thing I wanted to point out, Dave, real quick, and I know we got to wrap up here a little bit, but there's a lot of intimidation when it comes to, like, people have been with their financial institutions sometimes for decades, and they're not happy, or it's, you know, it's a big operation, but they've got their direct deposits and their bill pays and all this other stuff. And they're like, you know, I want to switch. I want to go to America First. I want to be a part of what's building there for my day-to-day banking needs. But I don't know if I don't want a bill to fall through the crack. I don't want to miss a direct deposit. You guys can help make that a real seamless process, correct?
We can. Yeah, there's a lot of people in that same boat that just have that fear of change because it takes a little bit of time. But we make it seamless. We help you. We ask you the questions of, you know, your direct deposit or what bills do you have. We educate you about our online services, our mobile banking, and really help you through that process to get it set up so that you can have a good experience. So give us a try. Go to AmericaFirst.com. Come into one of our branches. Try us out. We'll help you have a better experience.
Let's do it. America First, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome Hans Olsen back to the show. I know with you, you guys love your food. You love your food analogies. So we're having you on to talk spring football. Now, spring football is to football as blank is to a meal. What is spring football? Because it's not the real deal.
It's a total meal replacement shake. And it's a bad mix. It's like a protein powder you order. You think you're going to like it because it says cookie and cream on it. You mix it a couple times and you're like, this tastes like cardboard. This is trash. It gives you the calories that you need. It's hard going down. Eventually you end up throwing the whole bottle out, but it's a meal replacement shake. I think that's the equivalent.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Just past 1:30. We got the good, the bad, the ugly. Before we get to the good, caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That'll be 801-575-ZONE. You'll be assigned a golfer in the UNA Golf Major Giveaway. Again, brought to you by UNA Golf. Lloyd, when you're caller number 12, Lloyd's going to assign you a golfer. If your golfer ends up winning the Masters, you will win the same brand of driver as that golfer. So, your chance to win. What do we do? The top 30 and then the field after that, Lloyd? Is that how we do it?
It's 1 through 26 and then the field.
All right. 1 through 26. So somebody, you're going to get 1 through 26 is up for grabs. And then after that, it'll be the entire field after that. So you're not quite sure if you want one of those top 26 golfers or if you want everybody else outside of the top 26. But
have we ever had the field win?
I think we have. I think we have. Yeah, I think a couple times.
Was Danny Willett one of them?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know why that stands out to me, but I thought maybe that was the one time the field is won. Doesn't seem like it would happen often.
Yeah.
Well, what would you want? One of the top 26 or would you want the field?
Give me one of the top 26, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is I put this on the good hands because I think it's a win-win for both sides on this one. Sometimes coaches just kind of overstay their welcome, and I don't care how good you are, or how many championships you won. Sometimes your message runs a little You know, it just doesn't have that same impact. And I think the John Calipari run in Kentucky kind of ran its course. I think the fact that players can now stick around a lot longer and make money on name, image, and likeness and collective has really hurt Kentucky, because they used to get the best one and dones, you know, on the planet, and nobody else could touch them in recruiting. And then they would leave and he'd get another batch and then another batch. Well, now you're getting players that are sticking around that are really good, and Kentucky's lost their edge a little bit. So there were a lot of people in Kentucky that were a little grumpy that Kentucky wasn't winning at the highest level that they were, but yet they gave him this massive contract. So if they were going to buy it, if they were going to fire him, they would owe him $36 million. And there were a lot of people that wanted at Kentucky to move on from John Calipari. John knew that. And now Arkansas comes calling and saying, hey, you know what? We just lost our coach. How about you come on over here to Arkansas? And he jumps at the opportunity. So John Calipari leaves. Kentucky's off the hook. They can get a fresh start with a coach like Nate Oates at Alabama or Scott Drew from Baylor. You name it. There's a lot of good coaches out there that'll line up to take that job. Kentucky probably will be better off, because I'm not a big fan of John Calipari, the coach. From an X's and O's standpoint, I don't think he's a good coach. I think he just gets really good talent. He's a great recruiter. And so Arkansas will get that. That'll revitalize that program to a certain extent. Not that they were bad, but, you know, he'll take them to another level. And then Kentucky can move on and try to go get a big fish and see if they can improve their status. So I think it's a win-win for both sides, honestly.
Yeah, not that they were bad.
No.
But there's definitely some room for improvement. I mean, we were talking about this. You go back to that 2019 season. That was big for him. You know, he had the Elite Eight in 2017 and 2019, and he's won only one NCAA tournament game since that last 2019 run. And the tough thing is, Scotty, Kentucky fans have watched him get knocked out by 15 seed St. Peter, and they just watched him get knocked out by 14 seed Oakland. And so they're looking around at Kentucky like, this is Kentucky. We don't get beat by St. Peter's.
Yeah.
We don't get beat by Oakland. Really? We're going to get knocked out in a 14 seed Oakland? That's how we go out?
Not a great look.
And the truth is, we could see some of these blue bloods go downhill for a while.
Yeah.
We could see things level up, because it's not about Kentucky. It's not about, oh, my one and done, my opportunity to step my toe in college basketball and head to the NBA and go make money. Now it's about, all right, well, who's giving me the most money right now? It's not even about the six-figure leagues that they've got going on that that we've seen some of these high school kids opt into other than a college program. Like, there's real money to be had out there. There's real seven-figure opportunities for some of these big-time recruits. And it's not about how long Calipari sits in your front yard in a car. It's not about how much he can illegally do.
Yeah.
To for you and your family in navigating that crazy NCAA restrictive world. Now it's kind of all on the open. You can bring a kid to the table and you can say, well, our boosters are just bigger than their boosters.
Yeah. Yep.
And we can just get you more collective. Well, they're only offering me this. Well, yeah, we're offering you this, and you come here and win. So I could see places like Kentucky and others leveling off for a while. But to your point, that's why, like, if you're not a believer in Calipari, and I don't know him and his depth of coaching like you do, but if you don't believe that he's the X's and O's guys, then you got to find the X and O guy.
Yeah.
But you got to find a guy that can organize five dudes on a court, put them in the right place in the right rotations. And that's what we've seen with Danny Sprinkle, where he brought in five guys. We just saw it with Mark Pope, whose Coach Pope's name has been rolled out in this Kentucky thing a couple of times.
Yep. And that was the other thing I was going to bring up. Now, look, he'll probably be fifth or sixth on that list, but there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to look at their situation. Like, Nate Oates is making a ton of money at Alabama, and he'll parlay this into another extension and another big race. Scott Drew's getting a lot of money at Baylor. Like, these guys are going to look at Kentucky and say, I'm going to hop into a pressure cooker there. Do I really want that for maybe not as much, you know, I might get a little bit more money, but I got it pretty good here. He's got it, you know, Oates has got it good at Alabama. Drew's got it good at Baylor.
Well I'll give you an example. So Eric Musselman, he leaves Arkansas and heads to USC, and Arkansas reaches out to Chris Beard. And they're like, well, what's it going to take? And almost like, doesn't matter what it's going to take. We're going to keep him. So then they reach out to Jerome Tang, at Kansas State. And Joan Tang's like, no, but it's Kentucky. Well, like, okay, well, Kansas State's got some pageantry. Kentucky couldn't pull some of these guys away. And so it's just interesting. Guys are getting happy with their position.
Yeah.
And it feels like things are leveling out a little bit. Even though the transfer portal is a mess and collective is a mess, it is shifting what's been powerhouses. Even though I know we're watching UConn in a 1-2 matchup against Purdue, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So, Scotty, we were covering that BYU-Texas game. Do you remember the big man they had, DeVondre Sweat?
Yes.
Okay, so he's projected to be like the third or fourth off the board in this upcoming NFL draft. Just got hit with a DUI.
Yeah, boy.
I don't know how these things or why these things continue to happen, but DeVondre Sweat, 22 years old, played with Texas. He was booked into the Travis County Jail at 2:12 p.m. yesterday, charged with DUI. He was released, but DeVondre Sweat, who... by all accounts, the first tackle and was the real deal. Even though I still felt like he's, we used to have this teammate in with the Colts. His last name was Skrilla, and we'd call him the one play Skrilla, or one play thriller Skrilla, because there was one play he would give you the world, and you're like, oh my gosh,
from Manila,
yeah. And DeVondre Sweat is that guy. It's when he decides, yeah, I'm gonna go this time.
Yeah.
He can own you. Now, I think an NFL team thinks we'll draft him and we could have that guy every snap. That's not how it's going to be. But I could see him being a, what's his name? What's the old D tackle with the New England Patriots?
Wilfork?
Wilfork. I could see him being a Wilfork type. And Vince
Boy,
was.
If you get Vince Wilfork, you got yourself a hell of a player.
Right. But I do think that's kind of the vein that DeVondre Sweat is
and
through.
Wilfork wasn't playing hard on every snap.
Nope. He would decide, and he'd say, oh, okay, it is 2nd and 8. Oh, they typically run a draw set here, so I'm going to power through this A-gap and blow the whole thing up. Well, that's DeVondre Sweat. Well, I don't know what happens now. You know, I have not seen information on the blood alcohol content, so I don't know how bad it was. I haven't heard if there was reckless driving or if there was an accident. All I know is he was arrested and charged with DUI. He was taken in. He was placed in custody. He was charged with the DUI, and he is out. That's all we know. The details will surface, and that might have some influence on what an NFL team will do.
It won't. And if
probably very unlikely.
If there's a team that's in love with him right now, it's not going to change their opinion.
Did the space mask with Tunsil, did that affect his draft stock?
No, because it came out after he was drafted.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just before the draft.
No, I believe it was after the draft. Okay. The video came out. Okay. I might be wrong on that, but I believe, and there was a growing talk about how, player or teams would stay away from players that had marijuana history, and then after a while, they're like, we don't care about that anymore.
Yeah, and the league doesn't.
Yeah, and now the league definitely doesn't care about it.
No, but I do think that the league's got
a growing...
But
they better care about this.
They've got a growing DUI issue.
Yeah.
Are we not hitting a DUI almost every day?
Sure seems like
sports in general has a growing DUI problem, with athletes in general.
Yeah.
Like it's a problem.
It's high. I look at this, and if my job is finding players that can help me win, and I'm like, so how many DUIs has he got? Just one. Has he got any other priors? No.
And look, if the guy becomes a superstar, teams will just have a car service for him. They're like, okay, we'll find a way to make that work.
That's the other thing. You bring him in and you just say, hey, so we're going to probably take you third off the board here, fourth off the board. We're going to make sure that this never happens, right?
Yeah.
And what can we put in place to make sure it never happens?
And 3 weeks from now, they'll have the press conference. He'll be introduced as, whatever team he's at, and some reporter will how do you feel comfortable with him bringing him into the community with his driving under the influence history? And the owner's like, And the general manager, like, we've done a deep dive and we vetted him as a person and as an individual. And we feel like the actions that he made that night, while reprehensible, do not represent who he is as a person overall. And the player will pipe on it like, I feel really horrible about that. I made a bad decision. That's not who I am. My mom and dad didn't raise me to be that person. I can verify, I can vouch for that right now, that that will not happen again in my time here in Cleveland or Dallas or wherever he gets drafted. And then so they'll have the PR spin and they'll say all the right things, and then it gets all swept under the rug.
Yep.
That's how it goes.
And you know what's what it, this is the way I look at it. If that dude here in a couple years goes 150 miles down a residential street and hits a woman and her dog and kills them in a burning fire, I think the person that drafted him should have some responsibility.
I agree 1,000%.
Your name and reputation should be put on the line.
Because you single-handedly brought that person into the community.
That's right.
Yep.
And that person just killed a member of the community.
All right. Hans and Scotty, let's just go ahead and go to break. What do you think, Lloyd? Go to break. Coming up next, Whole World News straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
You think there would be any difficulty adding two more professional sports teams here locally?
Yes.
And getting the support?
Yes. Difficulty? Sure. Absolutely.
You think it'd be impossible?
No.
You think we could bring in two major franchises and have them both survive?
If the leagues individually choose Salt Lake City, it's because they're betting on our future, not the present. I think we'd sell tickets to these things right away. I think sponsorships, I mean, I'm not saying sponsorships for the Jazz are a tough sell or that they're struggling or by any means. They're hustling to find every nickel that's not nailed down. It's not like this market is just swimming in dough. But we've got some expanding economic sectors. Population is expanding here. Our education around here is pretty good. Our teachers are really good. Our universities are really good. And this is a great place to live. And so if we got two new major league franchises right out of the gate, yeah, it'd be probably tough sledding for a few years. But I mean, the idea is that they're betting on the future.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about.
Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting.
This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And make sure to join JJ and Alex Wednesday from 3 to 6 of the Dish Pros, hanging out with Ryan and the crew, 8034 South State Street in Midvale.
Well, Scotty, this is a crazy story coming out of Oroville, California. Officer Terry Dunn standing in front of a camera, and he starts the conversation. This is Terry Dunn, officer of Oroville, California Highway Patrol.
Just shock. Several other officers showed up as well, and it was kind of like one of those no one really believed it kind of thing. So several officers did show up to the scene just to see it, in fact, that it was a 9-year-old driving the vehicle.
Officer Dunn noticed the car stopped in the middle of the intersection of 4th and Grand, which is the furthest intersection away from me. He then announced over the PA system for the car to move, to which the boy turned on the 4th Street, making his way through this intersection and then through the parking lot of the Valero gas station that I'm standing at. Now, after navigating through the gas station, he made his way through to the dirt lot over there, where he then backed into Officer Dunn's patrol car.
A few seconds later, I did notice a little head bopping inside. Unusual. I exited my patrol vehicle, made an approach, and as I was approaching, I could see a kid, which turned out to be a 9-year-old child, sticking his head out saying, "I'm sorry, I'm trying to get to school."
The boy's school was right next door.
At that point, we kind of identify who he was, if that was the school he was actually heading to. We contacted the principal, we contacted the parent, and everyone showed up to the scene.
Well, hey, at least he's trying to go to school, right?
Okay, so this is how this happened. This little boy, he missed the school bus. And he was really needing to get to school. So he got his parents' keys. He jumped in the car, and he got himself all the way to within a block
just
of the school.
Right there. Almost made it.
Okay, how old is Xavier now, Lloyd? He's 9?
9.
Okay, I knew it. That's why I grabbed this story. What would you do? First of all, would Xavier be capable of something like this.
Oh, he'd be capable, but he wouldn't do it.
Blue eyes would do it.
Jackie Blue, yes. Yes, he would do it.
What would you do if you got
in
a call?
Fact, just over the weekend, Jessica gave her keys to Jackson to go grab something out of the trunk. I'm like, no, don't give him your keys. Are you
kidding
nuts?
Me? You're either going to have a stolen car or a key mark that goes down the length of the car. Okay, if you got a call from an officer and they're like, hey, we've got this young man, Xavier, here in our custody, like, how would you handle that?
Keep him
overnight.
Keep him.
Yeah, keep him overnight.
There you go.
Hey, scared straight man. Yeah, I don't even care.
Hey, you know what? That's our generation right there. That's how our parents would have handled
no,
it.
No, you're going to sit in the clink
keep your
overnight.
9-year-old overnight.
Hell yeah. He needs to learn.
Absolutely. Think about what you did.
I got a story to tell. Actually, David liked this story too, but I'll tell you during the break. I'm not telling this one on the air.
So you guys know I got fake arrested when I was 12 for that inappropriate phone call that I made. And
it gives, by the way, it gives me anxiety thinking about this. They just had somebody driving on like on the freeway, just barely, like that was
12 or 13.
Yeah, it was like 12. But
yeah,
I'm
12
just
or
like,
13.
Jeez.
And so I got fake arrested. Like, well, I think it was fake arrested. They still haven't told me if it was real or fake. I think it's fake arrested. Now I'm 12 years old, and I'm sitting in front of the Weezer sheriff with everybody in the room, and the sheriff, and I could hear because the sheriff's office was connected to the jail system.
Yeah.
And I could hear the guys in the cells yelling, and the sheriff looked at me straight up and he goes, look, we've got some options.
Look, you're the size of these dudes. We can try you as an adult.
He said, we can either keep you here for a couple of nights or you can become the ultimate dog poop cleanup guy. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll take the dog poop.
Yeah.
And I did clean up dog poop for the rest of my young adult life. But it scared the crap out of me, the fake arrest.
Yeah, as it should. All right, Hans and Scotty. Dave's hanging out with us from America First Credit Union. I don't know how to – usually I can come up with a pretty good transition. I got nothing for you, Dave. So let's just talk about AFCU, man.
Well, I just love the word clink.
Yeah.
Let him stand the clink for a day.
You know where that comes from. That's the noise that the gates make when they shut. It's that clink.
That deafening final lock.
Yep. So you know where you're at. I want to talk about just my experience with America First Credit Union. I know we get into a lot of these different areas, but I want people to know how much I've enjoyed my experience with America First Credit Union and also the depth of what I do with them, because I've got multiple business accounts, LLCs that are set up that run through America First Credit Union. So I do my business banking through America First Credit Union. I've got all my own, my personal, that's all set up. I've opened up an account for each of my kids, each of my four kids at America First Credit Union. So it's pretty deep. It's pretty deep. And I know that they're there for me and they're there in your community and they will super serve you. And that's really what it's about, Dave, is just you got to make people feel like they're part of the business.
Yeah, I love your experience and I love your journey that you've taken over the last, 14 years where you've found value and we've matched your desire, your need with products and services as well as service. And I think it's important to know that we're here for the consumer, but we're also here for small businesses. America First was the number one SBA lender in the nation, the number one credit union SBA lender in the nation.
In the nation.
Yeah, yeah. And there's several different types of lending options, but we're here to help those small business owners. We know that small businesses create a strong community, and we'd love to support them.
We were talking about the mortgage lending. We talked about small business lending. I wanted to talk a little bit about the interest rate returns because you're making a big push in helping people make their money work for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes we think about interest only in terms of paying interest, but we have a great opportunity for you right now to be able to earn interest. Whether you do that with a certificate of deposit or a dedicated savings, rates are good right now. We want to make sure that we're helping you and helping your money work for you. And so being able to put that into one of those types of accounts, you can see the interest earning. And you can put that back into your checking account. You can put it back into the certificate. But it's a great way to be able to plan for the future and save. Rather than just have that money sitting in your savings account or your checking account, put a little bit away and see how that interest can benefit you.
It's really simple. Go to AmericaFirst.com. Again, interest rates are on everybody's mind, but it can also work in your advantage. And America First can teach you how to do that, and you can start making money on your money at America First right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.